well, all right, people like hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast.
We just have a podcast. You know
we have
what?
A podcast. I should not try to emphasize the weekly so much, huh?
Yeah.
I could just leave that out, huh? And then it would just be like our podcast.
Yeah.
It might be daily as far as they know.
At times it's daily. Sometimes twice a day.
Half daily.
Yes.
Yeah, semi-daily, yes.
Sometimes it's bi-monthly.
It fills all the categories, actually, this podcast. Way to go, us.
Yes.
I am Garth Nelson.
And Jen Barr.
We play Mahjong for the Japan Professional Mahjong League, and that's pretty much all we get to do for them.
Yeah. Yes, apparently we're not serious enough.
Yeah. Lately, well, we may be a little bitter. Bitter? I don't know if we're bitter. I'm just annoyed with everything. Everything's annoying in this country lately. It's just like, come on, really? That's the things that people act like they're doing seriously, and then really that's the way you're going to do it? And then the way things are, you know, the way everything is just kind of annoying.
Yes.
Gambling and whatever.
Anyway, we have a podcast, though. So.
Yes, we have a podcast. Woo! Way to go, us.
Yeah, no one else in JPML has a podcast.
That's a good point.
I don't know if it's a good point. It's a point.
It's a point, yes. That's a point. And we're all about having points. We've got, like, at least one point.
Yeah.
You just came back from Macau.
Yes.
How was Macau?
Well, yeah, I came back on Friday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Recently you came back from Macau.
Yes.
Definitely since the last time we talked.
Yes. It was good. It was fine.
Did you get to play any Mahjong while you were there?
No.
Oh.
Nope. I just got to watch poker.
Because I would like to go and check out their casino Mahjong scene a little bit more, just to see, like, what the competition is like. I mean, I'm not used to that Mahjong, so obviously I'm going to get a little bit worked.
Maybe it's going to be like the, you know, first timers win a lot.
Well, I could be that first timer that just loses all the time too. But yeah, there is definitely that thing about beginner's luck, which, especially in a game like that where people are, when you play strong, people are going to get out of your way a few times until they realize, wait, this guy's just playing strong all the time, and then they come and really just kill you.
Yeah, that's true.
Just as another aside, I have been dealing poker lately in Roppongi, and it is interesting to see that kind of play, where, because obviously, so in Japan, there's no gambling, which means that in this poker room, people are buying in, and then they can never get the money out. So once they've bought in, the money is gone. And then you have basically two kinds of players. Well, you have three kinds of players. You have the kind of players who are trying to play seriously but don't really know what they're doing. Then you have the players who are playing seriously and sort of do know what they're doing. And, you know, then you can play some poker with those guys. And then you have the people who just come in and are throwing money around as fast as possible. And, you know, they'll lose all their chips, and then they'll buy in for a whole bunch of chips again, and then just go for it again. Like, just, okay, I'm all in. They'll look at their cards for a second. Okay, I'm all in again. And it's really kind of opened my eyes to this sort of... I think you have these kind of players in Mahjong, too. Even in parlors, you have people who for whom the money is not an issue. And it really changes the game. Like, when you're playing against somebody who doesn't really care whether they win or lose, they're just going for the win all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It really changes the way you have to play the game. Like, you really... You can't play them at all.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to play exactly what you have in your hand all the time. And also you have to be ready to accept the fact that even when you don't have that strong a hand, you know the hand that they have is on average still weaker than, say, your average hand. So when you have just an average hand, you've got to push with it because you know that this guy is just pushing with anything. Right?
Yeah.
You don't have that feeling?
Yeah. Well, I mean, then you just have to... Because then there's going to be mistakes, so you just have to play your game.
Right. You just you do have to play your game, but I mean,
you just have to play a game with no mistakes.
Yeah, but I'm all right. So my thing is that I felt like this happened in League on Sunday, too. One of the guys was one of these what I like to call tonky donkeys, because he just gets the tempi, and then even if he doesn't really have, even if it's like a mensu hand, which means not chitoitsu mm-hmm. or kokushi, but a hand where you have runs and triples. Even if he gets the tempi and doesn't have a head or a tama, he'll just reach with any sort of tonki he had.
Mm-hmm.
And God, it was just amazing. Like he kept. If had I just gone for it the time that he was dealer, I would have won that hand. And instead, I tried to work around it and play right. I changed my weight, and then I ended up throwing his weird tonki weight on the very last draw. And it was really annoying.
Well, that sounds like so you changed it to so that you wouldn't deal into his hand, and then you dealt into his hand.
Exactly, that was my mistake. Was trying to play around him when I should. And after I saw that's what he was doing.
That's just like a partial fold. That's not even like changing. I mean, if it's.
I shouldn't react to the way. I shouldn't.
If you're
going
to react, then just fold.
Right. Exactly. That's.
So that's your mistake.
That is my mistake. Yeah. And instead, after that happened, I stopped paying attention to him at all. And the next round, south round, I drew Kokushi while he was dealer. Got all of those 12,000 points back, plus 4,000 more. Thank you.
Okay, so you did it. You learned how to play.
I did learn how to play that game once.
And so did you end up positive for the day?
I ended up positive 10 points for the day after winning Kokushi one hand. Yeah.
I ended up negative 18, I think.
Yeah, I noticed.
Just, I could not do anything. I was ready. I only dealt into another player's winner twice in four games. Only twice. So I would be ready and someone would draw their winner. I'd be ready, someone else would draw their winner. And I did deal into an 8,000 point hand and a 12,000 point hand. Or a 11,600 point hand. In different games. Those are the only two times that I dealt into someone else's winner for four games.
For four games, and then you lose.
And I got first place in the last game. That's how much that people just kept drawing on me.
Huh.
And I was ready almost every time that the hand had ended in a draw, too. Like, I really think I played really well that day. I think I made, like, two mistakes or something, but they didn't end up hurting me.
Uh-huh.
As one of the lucky mistakes, where it just. Like, if I had discarded something else, I would have had more weights. But anyway, those weights didn't come out in the end. So I had like maybe two mistakes like that, but it just played really well in minus 18.
When you say mistake like that, do you mean that do you honestly believe that you should have made the other choice, or was it just that?
Yeah, like I discarded. Like, oh crap! I should have discarded that instead.
Oh, okay. So it was a real it was a real mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, because so for me in my first game,
not a retrospect mistake.
Okay, I had mistakes. I don't know if you would definitely call them mistakes. You could have reasoned out afterwards, like, oh well, I could have made this decision here. There was one where I ended up waiting for. I had a choice. I had in the Wanzu, I had 4, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 in the cracks, and then I also had the 3-3 of dots. The 3-3 of dots was Dora. There were no 3s of dots out. There were no 4s of cracks out, and there was 1-8 of cracks out. But there were also 2-7 of cracks out. So it's kind of like, you've got this little 7 of cracks wall going on. It's probably making 8 of cracks hard to use. So my choice is waiting for the 8 of cracks or waiting for the 4 of cracks and the 3 of dots, which was Dora. My thinking was, well, there are 4 tiles, two different tiles. There are 4 tiles, and they're two different ones.
Yeah.
If I ended up drawing the, if it's Dora, then it's, my hand is going to be twice as expensive as it is right now anyway. So I waited for Dora. And, of course, as soon as the Oya reached, my next draw, I drew the 8 of cracks. Oh, would have won on that. And then his next draw, he won by drawing Dora or something like that.
But that's not really the same as mistake, though. That's just...
Well, but all right, so You could have argued, because I could also see there were 2 7 of cracks out and there's one in my hand. So I've got a 3 7 of crack wall. It's making the 8 of cracks difficult to use. If it's not already a triple in somebody's hand, it's probably going to come out if they're going for it. Or otherwise, it's still in the wall, I'm using wall twice there. The first time that I'm using the word wall, just for people who are listening, the first time that I'm using wall, I'm using it in the sense that I can see a bunch of tiles are either discarded or being used, so it creates a wall on that makes the tiles on the other side of that wall difficult to use.
Mm-hmm.
The other time that I said wall just now was I was referring to the cards or the tiles that are still in the deck that are still to be drawn. That is also referred to as wall in Japanese, although it's the mountain. Or, I mean, it's referred to as wall in English, although it's referred to as the mountain in Japanese.
Yes.
So I don't know. Afterwards, in retrospect, I could think about how well, you know, if I was a really smart player, maybe I would have thought that the 8 of cracks was still more likely than the 4 of cracks or the 3 of dots.
Yeah, it's more likely.
Well, but I mean, I could already see one of them out. So there's only 3 of them.
Okay, so that's the thing. That's just a decision, but that's not exactly the same as a mistake.
Right, right. So I wasn't sure whether to count that as an honest to God mistake or like I could have read that better.
It's a mistake if you're like, all right, I definitely made, my thought process was wrong getting there. But you're thinking about both, and you just weighed the options, so I don't think that's a mistake.
Well then, I didn't really make very many mistakes.
Except for you got really grumpy, and then you won with Kokshi.
Yeah.
Because you were grumpy. I want to start playing grumpy. You always win when you're grumpy.
I know, it's really got to make the game so little fun for everybody else.
Maybe that's why you everyone is just like, oh my god, can't make Garth more mad. Garth more angry.
After I threw the Mangan to the dealer, that hand, then I got to ready with, I think I had 3 Dora the next hand, and then I reached, and the next Oya drew Mangan somehow, and I was like, are you serious, really? So now I'm down 16,000 points in the first 2 hands. And so then I was just like, draw, discard. Like,
See, I did that. I got down that far, and I didn't even deal into anyone else's hand.
That is really annoying, yeah. But I got to the point where I was just like, you know, screw this. I'm just going to draw and discard as quickly as possible, and I'm just gonna start, or folding right from the get-go. Screw you guys. I'm just going to be collecting save tiles right from the get-go, and then, you know, halfway through, I'll just start throwing away save tiles. Idiots.
And your save tiles turned into books.
No, and then, like, what did I do? I think I ended up with a Chi Toitsu hand.
Yeah, by the way, when you're doing something like that, it's everyone else who's an idiot.
Yes, yes. Definitely. That's what matters. It's in the book. That is in the book, actually. So yeah, I did that for a few hands, and then that annoying dealer's next hand is dealer, south round, first south round. I only started with 8 outside tiles, 8 outside and letter tiles, and then just was going for it. And my last, it's interesting. So it's interesting the way this stuff works out, because when I got to Tempai, I had a choice. I had 2 red dragons and 2 green dragons,
mm-hmm.
And obviously my choices, and neither one of them had come out yet. So, when the white dragon came out, or not the white dragon, no, it was.
I always love hearing you talking about Mahjong hands.
It was Nan. So that's right. Tezuka was in the Nan seat, the south seat, and she pawned south. And then I thought, when she did that, Haku came out, so I was kind of thinking, maybe she's got more Jihai in there. Sure enough, as soon as I dropped Chun, just because of the way her hand was shaping up, looked like that kind of hand, because she also pawned the 1 of cracks. So she pawned both of those, because I think she pawned the 1 of cracks first, and then Nan, and then when she pawned south, then Haku came out, so I was like, And both the red and green dragons hadn't come out. When I dropped the red dragon, she pwned the red dragon. Oh. And then I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if that's going to screw me over. Like, what if I would have drawn the...
Oh, you're thinking like that now.
Yeah, see? See how dumb I am? That's how dumb I am. And then, as it turned out, I ended up drawing my east to win. There was one east out already.
It's a good thing you let her pull me.
I know, exactly. That's what I planned that out. It's like, she looks like she would be waiting for the red dragon more than the green dragon. Although, who knows, maybe there no green dragons eventually came out after that, so who knows if she was also...
She could have had both.
She could have had both, yes. But yeah, and so then I didn't even... like, just to make matters more annoying, I didn't even say the score. I was like, some plan. Like I whacked the tile down on the table. Not really loudly, but a little bit loudly. I just bam. Simo. And I flipped my hand over. And before I even flipped it over, it was obvious to everybody that it was going on. Like the dealer was already giving out 16,000 points. There's no way it was a mystery what I was doing. As soon as I dropped yeast on the table, they were like, 8,000, 16,000. And I'm sure everybody's just like, oh wow, this game sucks. This game sucks when you're playing it with Garth. I don't know, I feel like I do need, that is something I need to work on. Just but that's something that I've gotten to with when I'm dealing poker, because I also end up playing the game a lot with people. And when you don't really have, when you can afford to lose, it's a lot easier to play.
Yeah.
And so once I've given up, it's also like I can afford to lose. I'm just like, well, I don't care anymore. And then somehow...
Yeah, for me that never works. I always lose way more.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
always lose way more.
It's not like I killed them. Although, you know, so had I not gotten that, I guess that would have made the difference between my plus 10 day.
Yeah, you'd have been like
minus 20. Yeah, minus 20, or at least, because I did end up barely scraping a win out of that.
So you might have been minus 40 or something.
Yeah, exactly. That was a huge swing. But I mean. Like, that first game was just really, really frustrating, because I really, really thought everything out. I really, really thought the whole way through. And then the last hand, we're all within, like, say, 3,000 or 4,000 points of each other. I think I was in third place with 29,000 points. And, I don't know, it was, like, somehow the fourth place person and... the second place person both were finished with a ready hand, because one of them had reached, and I couldn't. I was playing defense against both of them. The dealer didn't win his hand, and so then they both got a positive. And then it's like, oh really? I get minus like 12 points because you know, on the last, just because of this last stupid hand.
But you've done that to other people too.
Yes, but those were totally forgotten. So they don't mean anything though.
Yeah, I actually, like, noticed that, because we played this set afterwards, and, you know, everybody talks about how with the Ultima, the hands are already, like, too close to ready and stuff like that. There's so many times when I'm playing on non-Ultima tables, and it's the same thing.
Same thing.
So, you just remember, it's just the things that you want to believe stick out.
I certainly think that is a large part of what people remember.
Yes, I would rather play on the Ultimas all the time, I decided. I'm so tired of drawing the hands.
Really?
Just give me a hand. We finish so much faster.
Huh. Yeah, it does.
I don't need any dice.
It definitely speeds up the game to play on the Ultimas.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of a quick podcast this time around.
Yeah. So, buy our book
on
Amazon.
Our book.
We wrote a book.
We wrote a book about playing Mahjong. It's sort of intermediate level book, I think, right? Like, it's not really explaining the rules very much, but it's not going into super, super detail about
it's
what's
like
going on.
It's like beginner intermediate. In Japan, it'd still be a beginner's strategy book.
Oh.
I think within strategy, it's beginner's stuff.
Oh, okay.
Overall, for the game, it's higher beginner's than close to intermediate.
Because we aren't really explaining any of the rules.
You have to know how to play already. If you don't, you can buy my book.
Yes. There's a book for that, too.
You can buy both.
In English.
We're also taking reservations for the print version of the book, which we will send out probably end of November. So you have it in time for Christmas.
Yay.
Yay.
That's what my mom's aiming for. I can't believe the number. Here we just explained that it's not a beginner book, and she's going to be handing it out to people who are like, Mahjong? What the hell is Mahjong?
Maybe you should tell her to buy copies of my book to give them in sets.
Yes, that would make
that
sense.
That would be a perfect little book set.
Yes,
Christmas
that'd be
a
perfect little set for anybody who's interested in learning Mahjong.
And we could order tiles for her. She could give them, like, okay, you have both books and a tile set.
Huge package.
You can catch us on Twitter.
I am Garth E, GARTHEEE.
And I'm Mahjong Jen.
That's Mahjong with a G. One G, not two.
Yeah, and one N.
And
there's no double letters in that. Mahjong Jen.
We are singular people.
No, Garth is tripular.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's very different. But we're definitely not into doubles.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, and check us out again.
And maybe Garth will write in the forums on ReachMahjong.com.
Oh, I keep thinking I'm going to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll happen. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
See ya. Da, 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 da.